all the others. And here's the, our co-author, Dr. George Libo is here, and also I work with Brianna Mazza. And we do not have any financial relationship with the commercial interest for this study. And in the U.S., driving private vehicle is the primary mode of transportation, and almost nearly 1 million people stop driving every year. And driving cessation is a turning point of life, like retirement or divorce. And for example, retirement is the beginning of old age, but driving cessation is the beginning of dependent life years. And there's an interesting study in 2002, Foley and colleague measured life, driving life expectancy for people who are about 70 years old. And they expected that people to drive up to 81 years old. It means that people who are in their 70s probably drive up to, you know, only 80. But life expectancy is much longer than that. For women, they live up to 91 years old. And for men, it would be 87 years. It means that after driving cessation, all the women would have to depend on others for transportation for 10 years. For men, it would be about 6 years. So driving cessation is an acquired disability, and there are good evidence about the negative consequences of driving cessation. Driving cessation reduces the network of friends, decreases out-of-home activity levels, also increase depressive symptoms, and also increase risk for 3-year mortality. And we developed a conceptual model of driving cessation, and previous studies are very much focused on the health impairment, the health state, thus on the decision making to stop driving, or the consequences of driving cessation. But there are few studies on the psychosocial factors affecting the decision to stop driving. And there's only one study in this area, and it was a qualitative study about 5 years ago. And Adler and Rotunda did a qualitative study using focus group with the former drivers. And they found that there are two groups of all the others. The first group is proactive former driver. So they made the decision by themselves and then just informed their family that I gave up my car keys and I don't want to drive any longer. And there is another group. Another group is more reluctant to acceptance. They want to continue to drive, but because of pressure from their families or physicians, they reluctantly decided to stop driving. But there is a limited quantitative data about this issue. The differences between voluntary and involuntary driving cessation. Also, there was a call to address this research gap, particularly concerning how psychosocial factors influence the decision to stop driving. So this study aimed to characterize voluntary and involuntary former drivers, also examine the factors contributing to older drivers' decision to stop driving. And at the beginning of the study, we expected voluntary former drivers might be women and also older and probably few comorbidity and have less cognitive and vision problems compared to involuntary former drivers. And we used the data from Baltimore Epidemiologic Catchment Area Study. ECA study has is a population-based probability sample, and it includes community driving others aged 18 or older. And it has 4 waves, and the information includes assessment of mental and physical health and health behaviors, also functional status. And we used the wave 4, and the wave 4 had 1,071 participants, but we restricted our analysis to those over 55, and also who have ever regularly driven, and reported that they had to stop driving at least once a week. And the final sample size was 83. And about the decision making about driving cessation, we directly asked, was it primarily your decision, or was it your physician family, or be required to stop by the Motor Vehicle Administration? And we defined the voluntary former drivers as those who decided to stop driving by their own decision, and involuntary former drivers were those who decided by the physician family or the MVA. And we asked what was the main reason participants to stop driving, and they are given 7 choices. Most of the choices are about health issues, maybe because of a visa problem, hearing, and problems with handling the vehicle or physical issue, maybe alcohol or drug issue or a cognitive issue. Also, there is an open question, and if they could not find the main reason among those 6, they can answer their own reason. And we grouped those other reasons into 7 groups. And those 7 groups were financial difficulty, anxiety about driving, or nauseous car, and some other reasons you can see on the slide. And the measures of the socioeconomy and house status included these things that based on the findings of previous study about the causal factors for driving cessation. Because of sample size, we did descriptive and bivariate analysis. And here are the results. 8 out of 10 older former drivers reported that they stopped driving by their own decision. And only 13% said that they stopped driving because of physician or family's advice. And only 4% were not able to renew their driver's license. And somewhat unexpectedly, there are no significant difference between 2 groups in terms of driving history. And as you can see, there are wide range of years of driving. Some people drove only 1 year, others drove like over 7 years. And interesting point is that all of the participants in this sample did not drive, but 1/3 of them reported they currently own a car. And about the socioeconomic status, voluntary former drivers were quite similar to involuntary former drivers, and about the age, sex, race, living arrangement, and other socioeconomic status, there are no significant difference between 2 groups. About the health status, most of items, there are no significant difference between 2 groups, except the inability to walk for a quarter of a mile. And here are the reasons, this is more as expected. Involuntary former drivers reported that physical health issue or problems with the visa are main reason to stop driving. But voluntary former drivers, besides the health issues, 15% reported that financial difficulty was the main reason to stop driving. Also, anxiety about driving. For example, some people say that I'm so scared, about the traffic. Also, I, worried that if I hit somebody, that was the anxiety about driving. Also, 10% of voluntary former drivers reported that they stopped driving because they have no access to a car. So key findings of this study is that a majority of participants reported to have stopped driving by their own decision, but still distinction between these 2 groups are very ambiguous. And factors beyond health status, for example, financial strain, play a role in transition to non-driving. So here is the implication. The study implied that there is a huge heterogeneity in the decision-making process to stop driving. So when we approach this issue, we needed to develop a person-centered driving retirement program. And here are some resources related to the decision making to stop driving. For example, there's a national program, CarFit program, and if you pay a certain amount of money, the physical occupational therapist and some certified people can assess the ability of driving. They don't report to DMV or other licensed organization and just objectively evaluate your driving ability. Also, there's a senior transportation option template from the EASTA sales. If you go to the website, there's a nice 3-page template. So before stop driving, you can plan ahead where is the alternative transportation, so how much it will cost, so you can plan with your family. And also there's a program IT in America. Some states have this program. So if you cannot drive, you can donate your car, and based on the value of your car, you can get a ride from other voluntary drivers. So it's a little bit like a taxi, but it's based on the voluntary drivers, so you can get the ride from other people in your community. And the limitation of this study is that sample size was small, so probably the findings should be viewed as preliminary rather than confirmatory. So participants were from metropolitan areas, so maybe not able to generalize the finding into rural area. But this study was the first quantitative study compared the reason for voluntary and involuntary driving cessation. Also, the distinction between two groups was made by the participant with direct risk who decided to stop driving, not from the researcher or their family. Also, the sample has a very diverse population and in terms of race and ethnicity. Also, it was the participants were from the general population. Thank you.
We can have questions now from Dr. Choi or any of the other presenters.
Thank you.
It's
interesting to listen to the gap in terms of quantifying. One was the population was presumably mostly like community dwelling adults, older adults, is that right? So sort of those who would have been moved into facilities wouldn't have been in. I mean, I think there was probably a population of people who were involuntary cessators who maybe weren't included. So in terms of the trying to estimate actual numbers, how that distribution goes, do you think that there's a group that you're missing if they're not participating in the program?
That's a good question. In my knowledge, the sample is community living for the people, not institutionalized. But there's an interesting study. If people stop driving, there's a huge increased risk to getting the long-term care because they don't have any access to grocery or other resources. So they're a little bit different to separate populations. So probably it would be an interesting study about how those two groups are different, but this study are based on the people living in the community, not institutionalized. So.
I may have missed this, the group who fall into the
That's the main finding of this study, yeah, because there is no clear line between voluntary and involuntary driving. For example, when people decide a certain health decision or stop driving, we cannot say like 80% by my own decision and other 20% of them. Like, there are very dynamics, but I feel this study is more perceived how older people perceive their decision making. Not just maybe even family talk a lot because of personality, they think it's their own decision. So the data is based on the perceived voluntary driving cessation, rather than we cannot say that it's objective or subjective. But I think you made a good point.
Thank you.